Just want to see what you have there. Oh, yeah.
You can close it. We like the air. Okay.
We're getting ready to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, brought to us by Mr. Eric Johnson.
Everybody stand and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Someday.
Good evening, commissioners. I'd like to take the roll call. Commissioner Hurd?
Present.
Commissioner Hartwig?
Present.
Commissioner Pitts?
Excused.
Chair Main?
Present.
Commissioner Castillo?
Present.
And Commissioner Negrash?
Present.
Thank you. Robert Montgomery?
Excused.
Thank you.
We were waiting. Okay, you had a chance to look at the minutes. Any changes, questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I'll place that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? It's unanimously carried. Modifications to agenda. I would like to recommend that we move items C, D, and E to next month's meeting since we have some commissioners missing. Do we have a motion to that effect?
I do. I'd like to also make a motion to that effect.
Yeah, I'll
second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, the same sign. Any abstentions? It's unanimously carried. So, any reports from legal counsel?
No, commissioners. There were no final decisions made in the last closed session.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Starting with new business, what everybody's here for, swearing in.
Good evening, commissioners. I'd like to invite Chief Carol DePlessis up to preside over the swearing in of Casey Mooningham, OHAPD Sergeant.
Hi, Commissioner Carol DePlessis, Chief of Police for the Housing Authority Police Department. It's an honor today to have this young man come up here to be sworn in as sergeant. I didn't think in my day when I started here in 1991 that I ever could say we're going to have a dispatcher, somebody start as a dispatcher, go through the police academy, become a very successful police officer, and then one day to get promoted to sergeant. And there's still hope. Maybe he could be chief one day. So with further ado, I'd like to go ahead and have Casey Mooningham join me up front. Over here. And also, I want to acknowledge a few people that he's brought. We have his mother and father, Irene and Mike. We have his girlfriend, Masha. And we have Sergeant Collins from the Novato Police Department. Coming here to support Casey Mooningham today. And I do want to tell you that I'm very proud of Casey. He's a very, very humble young man, sometimes very quiet. But ironically, we sit in meetings sometime, and when, you know, we need answers and we need information, when he opens up his mouth, boy, you have to listen because he's so full of intelligence. And he has the willingness and the professionalism to put out the best practices that we're ever going to see in law enforcement. So with that, I'm very proud, Casey. I know you're going to do some great things. So with that, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Casey Mooningham.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That as a police officer.
That as a police officer.
I will support and defend the Constitution.
I will support and defend the Constitution.
Of the United States.
And
the laws of the state of California.
And the laws of the state of California.
That I will execute my responsibilities.
That I will execute my responsibilities.
In accordance with the mission.
In accordance with the mission.
Of the Oakland Housing Authority.
Of the Oakland Housing Authority.
And the principles and values of the police department.
And the principles and values of the police department.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without mental reservation.
Without mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
That I'm about to enter.
That I'm about to enter.
With compassion.
With compassion.
Fairness.
Fairness.
Honor.
Honor.
Integrity.
Integrity.
And service foremost in my thinking.
And service foremost in my thinking.
Congratulations, Sergeant. Commission?
Moving on to item B.
Yes.
Item B is a recognition presentation of for two individuals, OHAPD Officer of the Year and the OHAPD Employee of the Year. And I will turn it back over to Chief Duplessis to recognize two extraordinary individuals of the Oakland Housing Authority.
Again, I'm very, very grateful to call both of these individuals up. The first one I'm going to call up is our police service aide and dispatcher, Melanie Gilbert. Melanie has been with us for since 1997. Started immediately making a positive impact, and I got to tell you that I feel sorry for her most days because dispatch is her supervisor Jackie. She reports to me, and I'm always on their back every single day. But the one thing I can say is that is absolutely one of the best run divisions that we have in the police department, and a lot of it is primary because of employees like Melanie, who has really come through and has become just an outstanding asset for that department as far as the technology, as the rules and regulations, and training of other people. I do want to recognize that her husband, David, where are you at, David? Her son, David Jr., and her son, Kyle, are also here to support her. So I want to welcome all of you. The other person I'd like to have is Sergeant Luther Dupree, who is our Officer of the Year. It's been easy to keep Luther in line. I don't know if you guys saw him last year when he got sworn in. His father is huge. Yeah, and the preacher. I told him, I said, if you mess up, I'll just call your dad and he'll get you. and with that, boy, he just stays on the line, doesn't he? I can't get a lot of people to do the things that Luther does. I mean, and I'm not taking away anything from our department. We have some of the most outstanding officers. But as you see, last Friday, we had a block party in Lockwood. And that really, really is, you have to be convicted to really put your heart out there and really understand exactly who we're doing this for. To understand that, we might have a police department, but we are in the housing business. And we want to make sure that primarily our residents are taken care of. And Luther sees things, as it pertains to our residents, as it pertains to the community, that a lot of officers in the field don't really see and they don't get. He has just been absolutely outstanding in his performance over the last year. And with the vetting of the awards, and let me just tell you, they're primarily picked, by their peers, unless there is other issues. And then, at times I might just pick them. But the bottom line is I don't think anybody would argue that these two are really standing at the top of the department, and they have really proven themselves to be assets and complete role models to everybody else, because I'm really not. You guys are the role model for the police department. Congratulations. So with that, I want to make a presentation to both of you, and I'd like to have Mr. Johnson and our commissioner. So on behalf of the Oakland Housing Authority, our executive director and board of commissioners, Melanie Gilbert, I want to present you with the 2011 Employee of the Year and appreciate for your overall outstanding performance in your capacity, and for you, Sergeant Dupree, as the 2011 Officer of the Year for your outstanding performance, and please keep up the good work. Congratulations. Commissioners, if there's no questions, then I'll take my seat. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. And thank you both. My only comment on both of them is how extraordinary they are. They've done extraordinary work for us, and I had the opportunity to get to work with them individually and personally before I became ED. And they represent the best of Oakland, and I'm proud of the opportunity to be able to recognize them.
And I think that speaks for the whole commission also.
Yes.
Okay, we just went through A, B, C, D, E.
Yes.
Item F
is consideration of a resolution to authorize the acquisition of 131 to 137 East 16th Street, quote, parcel 4, in the city of Oakland, and to authorize the execution of development and lease documents required to be submitted with the low-income housing tax credit application due on July 25th, 2012 for Lakeside Senior Apartments. I'd like to have Phil Neville come up to be able to address any questions the board has related to the item and briefly describe what actions the board's taking.
Thank you again, Phil Neville, Deputy Executive Director for the Office of Real Estate Development. And we're privileged tonight to have in the audience the A-team from Satellite Housing. They're all in the front row. We have Carl Lauf, who some of you have seen before when he helped develop our Harrison Senior project. He's now Director of Development for Satellite. We have next to him Cindy Heavens, who's the project manager for Lakeside. And next to her is Dori Kajimi, who I believe is still acting Executive Director of Satellite. So we have the entire team here. Bridget Galka is next to them, and Bridget, of course, was our project manager. Denny Adania is the current project manager for this, but she's ill tonight. So tonight we are asking for further approvals that would be needed in order to position us to apply for tax credits on July 25th. This would be for the 9% tax credit program, which, as you recall, is the better program that gives you more equity. Because we're in a position where on April 22nd, this board voted to fund the gap for this project to go forward, we are now in a position to move forward. And in order to get ready for this application process, we need to make a few adjustments to the agreements as indicated in the purpose on the first page of our memo. We need to amend and restate our acquisitions, conditions, and joint development agreement with Satellite and our other partner, Oakland Housing Initiatives, Inc. We also need to make another revision, second amendment, to our pre-development loan agreement. And we also need to assign the purchase and sale agreement that Satellite has entered into in order to acquire parcel 4. And then the final piece is to amend the ground lease option agreement so it includes all the sites. We go through a bit of history on your actions in the past, but the main thing we want to say right up front, we're not asking for any more money tonight. You've given us all the money we need. We're taking a few steps to allocate that money within the project to finish the acquisition of that fourth parcel. And I think it's really heartening to know that the board gave us that kind of support for this project. Satellite's been working on this project for 5 years. We've been working with them for at least the last three of those years, and we're all ready to move it forward. I think it's important to note for those of you that understand we're a HUD-funded agency, and in large part that we have completed not only the California CEQA requirements, but we've completed the NEPA requirements to allow us to go forward on the acquisition of that last parcel. There are many things we could say, but I think it would be best to be guided by your questions on this at this point.
Mr. Hartwig.
Yeah, Phil, I just wanted to say that.
Can you turn your mic off?
Oh, yeah. There we go. Better. Yes. I just wanted to say that I thought this was really a fantastic job of presenting information in the package here. And it's really so good that I don't have any questions, so I'm moving the item. I mean, that's just this is what we've been, we got history, we got everything that we have ever asked for. I think, at least that's how it looks to me. So
on a night when we brought four people to answer your questions, you don't have any questions?
Well, I just wanted to applaud you all for a job well done.
Thank you.
Mr. Negras, was that a second when you did like this?
That was peace, love, and a question. So, Phil, the pending acquisition of this fourth parcel, that in no way, it doesn't need to, we don't need to modify the entitlements with the city. That's a fair assumption?
That's right.
Okay. Because we're not going to do anything, we're not going to tear down, we're just going to do some interior work to that space. I was just looking at, there's so many tight timelines here, the acquisition and then applying a TCAC in about a month. So, but we don't need to go back to the City of Oakland for any additional approvals.
Not to my knowledge. Let me glance at the team.
Correct. Okay. Right. Great. Well, I think it was a very well-worded, well-written memo as well. I was really impressed by it, so thank you.
So, now is that a second?
Yes.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? It's carried unanimously. Item G.
Item G is consideration of a resolution reaffirming 1521 Second Avenue, the Lakeside Relocation Plan, and adopting 131 through 137 East 16th Street, the Lakeside Relocation Plan amendment to that. We have a memo outlining it. And my apologies for not actually including it in the package. We were able to get it to you electronically. It's come before the board and was approved in, I believe, October of 2010 initially, and this amends it to include the commercial space that we're acquiring. Staff's here for any questions, and I'd like to thank David Richard for coming down and being here as well.
Okay. Adi Nagraj.
So I did have a question on I did request from Eric a copy of the relocation plan. And just one small question. There's a line in here that says, that I just didn't understand, and if you could help me with it. It's on page 3.
Okay.
It says, as required, the developer will replace all occupied and all vacant occupiable dwelling units of lower income housing, either demolished or converted, to a use other than lower income housing in connections with the home funds.
Let's bring up Cindy or David. Dave and Cindy. Yeah, why don't you come up side by side?
Does that mean if we're doing commercial relocation, we can't use home funds for residential purposes?
No.
And please state your name and who you're with for the record.
David Richmond, AutoTemp Consultants.
Cindy Heavens, Satellite Housing.
This entire project is considered one project, and that's why we're doing an amendment to the original plan. It involves the use of home funds. Whenever home funds are used and there's demolition that results in the removal of low mod housing, it requires a one-for-one replacement. So that's true with the initial site and with the secondary site. It does not impact commercial, and with the demolition it triggered 104D, which is under the HUD handbook 1378, which in the HUD handbook 1378 only addresses the residential displacement. So the commercial displacement falls under the Uniform Relocation Act.
Okay. So when it says, as required, the developer will replace all occupied and all vacant occupiable dwelling units of lower income housing, either demolished or converted, to a use other than low income housing.
Correct. So there's a one-for-one replacement requirement for any low moderate housing that is either demolished or converted to another use.
Okay. That's clear.
And that's 11 and 5, right? 11 units or 5 units.
Yeah.
So, I would have to look at the number of units.
We have an 11-unit building and a 5-unit building. So, this fourth parcel is a 5-unit building.
Yeah.
And there are residential, there is a residential component to this building.
Yeah. So I don't think, for me, I was on the commission when this first came up, so this is just my first time. Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? They're up. Ms. Hurd.
I really like this project. I love it, as a matter of fact. I've been over there, and I've met with some of the residents, and they like living there. Two questions. The additional space for resident services, that's going to house how many people?
The additional space for resident
services
is going to house? Well, we have two additional spaces for resident services. They're just to provide service to the residents who will be living there. Okay. So the total project will house 91 households, and 32 of those will have additional special needs. And so the additional resident services office is to assist those residents with additional special needs.
And the special needs we're targeting?
Homelessness, and some residents will also have mental health issues, as well as some may be, substance abuse,
okay,
as well as some may have HIV positive determinations.
Okay, great, thank you. And the access to parking?
There are 29 spaces are for the Rosa Sharon, and the total spaces on the project are 59, so the remaining, we have 29 spaces, and the parking is about, a half space per unit. So there is parking. But because this project is about two blocks from transportation, we are not expecting large transportation needs with cars.
Okay, great. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Motions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve.
That was Adi, and Mr. Hartwig seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? It's unanimous to carry. Item I. No, H. I can go to I.
Item H. Item H is a review and acceptance of the Oakland Housing Authority June 30th, 2010 audited financial statements, and our financial director, Tony Ma, we'll give a brief overview, and we also have, I believe, are they? Yeah, Cindy Paz here. There you are. I saw her earlier this afternoon.
That should be 2011, not 10. So
oh.
We're not that far behind.
It's right in the board.
No major findings.
And if I could point out real quick, page 1, paragraph 3, That's the opinion, and there is no adverse opinion there. So that's just there's not an adverse opinion. So
opinion. That means we did good.
You did good.
Well, they say in the South, you done good.
If I could also say is that the financial data schedule that we filed with HUD that goes along with this audited financial statement was approved by HUD last week. So this thing is completely done once you are approving.
Wonderful. Any other questions? Comments?
Yes.
Mr. Hartley.
Yeah, just I think I already know the answer to this, but I just wanted to have the warm fuzzy that we're addressing the qualifications that were pointed out in there. I mean, when I read this, it didn't really look like what I would call showstopper items to me, but it's more of just kind of, I don't know.
If I could discuss the recovery one first, as Deputy Janet Rice pointed out, is we had maybe 6 hours of notice that HUD was coming to take all the information, and so they had 6 hours to go and copy everything.
I see.
So certain things weren't copied, and it's done.
Got it.
The other qualification, I would say, is a work in progress, and we are working to eliminate that qualification.
Okay, perfect. I'll move the item.
I'll second.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded. I want to make a comment. I was really impressed with our auditors when they came and they talked to me also. I asked them some pointed questions, and they answered my questions and even gave me some suggestions for what to look for down the future. So hopefully we will keep them to help us keep on our toes. Okay? And we want to thank them for that glowing report. Thank you.
I also want to thank them for exactly what you said, and also they're making us a better agency. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes the progress that we know exists lags a year behind because these lag a year behind.
Sure.
And so the progress you see is real, and I think it's a testament. They're reviewing accurately and fairly, and Tony and the financial department have come so far.
Absolutely.
In such a short time, and it's really at the leadership of Tony Mon and Janet Rice and Zola. Are you here? Just great work, you guys.
The team. Let the lady go first. Ms. Castillo.
I'm also was told that this is one of the best audits we've had, so I'm very proud of staff because I know that this is a lot of work to try to have people running around your offices asking you for things other than the normal course of business. Concerning deficiency 2001104, the written disaster recovery procedures, I know that we are in process of identifying how to be better prepared. But moving forward, what are some of the plans that we have in place to get us to a point to where we are prepared better?
A lot of the items are getting scanned ahead of time, as opposed to when you were talking about the Recovery Act.
No, I'm talking about the disaster recovery procedures, which is more than just backing up our data. It's like, can we do business away from home if home is gone?
Well, let me see if Mr. McBurney here. Janet.
And some people who were on the budget committee have heard the answer to this, so you'll bear with us.
Good evening. I'm Artesia Dupree. I'm the risk manager. I have worked along with the finance director, deputy executive director. OHA has a two-tiered plan. We have a business continuity plan, basically saying what do we do, what happens the day after. So we have our emergency disaster plan, which we've already rolled out to all of the employees. So far, 212 employees have been trained on what to do for an immediate emergency. If something happens, you're not able to return to your office, where do you go and what do you do? If an earthquake happens, what do you do, where do you go, how do you respond to that? So far, almost 90% of the agency employees have been trained. The police department has finished theirs, and I have been working to get get the rest of the employees. So we're at 212 employees trained so far. And the plan actually mirrors what FEMA has required and asked that the public housing agencies do, along with HUD, to say what's going to happen in an emergency. Say something as major as Loma Prieta. What do you do? We are working on our business continuity plan, which is almost finished, that says what do you do the day after when there's no resources, when your primary building is not available for you to go to? What do you do the day after? What do you do for 72 hours after? What do you do for 3 years after? On out to 5 years. Where does the agency go to support, generate payroll, HAPS payments to our landlords? How do we connect with vendors, have ready cash, back up our documentation? So all of this is in the works. Ms. Rice and the IT director had went out to Arizona, and they'll tell you a little bit more about what we're going to do as far as the data backup. So we pretty much have some good plans in place. We'll review them and adapt them as we need to. We're also going through core training. A lot of the employees have already gone through core training, which is the community resource to be able to manage disasters in your community.
So have our senior sites, by the way.
Yes, and at our senior sites. So we have a good plan in place that gets us there. As a matter of fact, well, it's going to be posted on the website at some point so that you'll be able to go into the OHA website and look at the emergency disaster plan.
I'd appreciate a link to that whenever that gets up.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and I think somebody needs to tell us what we're supposed to do, too.
Well, we're actually going to take you through the same training that we give the employees at one of the meetings. We're going to actually walk you through what we tell our employees what to do so that in the event that you're here and we have a commissioner's meeting and an emergency occurs at that point, you know what you can do, whether you duck under your counter, whether you go to a door, whether you escape, where to go. We're going to roll it out so that you'll be on the same page with us as well.
And how we conduct business after is, I think, what the question is.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yes.
One of the suggestions I learned during my, because I do the disaster preparedness at my job, is that if you start every meeting with a safety tip or a safety reminder, it helps people, you know, reinforce that. But thank you. That was great. You sound like me.
Craig McBurney, IT director. The question was asked, what do we do if home isn't here? And as part of that plan, we're currently deploying a disaster recovery warm site, is what it's technically called. And we've ID'd a data center in Phoenix that we are going to locate some equipment. We're in the middle of working on this right now. To replicate our critical mission critical data on a consistent basis, and then if something happens and the link severs to Oakland, we can activate that and users can dial in, run finance, run property management, document imaging. The key systems will be there, and we are in the middle of doing that right now. In fact, I'm trying to plan the first trip to Phoenix, so that will be up and running very soon.
You know,
it's just running in the closet in the back room right now, and until we got it working, now it's time to relocate it to Phoenix.
Yeah, you got to come out of the closet.
Yeah, I know. But it's hiding, it's comfy in there.
Oh, okay. That's you're going to put the final touches on it. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Mr. Hartwig.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on Eric's comment earlier because I was here in the pre-Tony era. So I have actually had the opportunity to see the changes that have happened in finance. And, I mean, it is, to just put a word on it, it's impressive. I mean, it's been a huge, huge change. I mean, literally, we came from a finance department which was focused on satisfying HUD requirements to a finance department that that I think any CEO would be proud of. So this is really cool stuff, Tony. We appreciate everything that you have done and what Janet has done and the whole team.
Well, let me thank you on behalf of finance. Couldn't have done it without the whole team.
Yes. Thank you.
And I want you to pay attention to that. This is a guy that has beat up on finances for a long time. He's satisfied. Did you hear that? Okay.
Okay, and you're moving. Wait, I'm not finished.
Yes.
I'm never satisfied.
Yeah, you're satisfied with the direction that it's going. Yeah. And you want to take it to another level, but we haven't even talked about that. Okay, but we're there. We're there. It's the future. Is your hand up? No. No other comments, questions? You're done good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Item I
is a presentation of Family and Community Partnerships for the fiscal year 2012 activities. As we close this school year, the board had requested a presentation of some of the outcomes, and I would like to turn it over to Deputy Executive Director Janet Rice and to Nicole Thompson as well, who have prepared a PowerPoint and a video for you.
Good evening, Commissioners. Janet Rice, Deputy Executive Director. We're going to show you a PowerPoint of some discussions that occurred earlier with my team. I want to first of all just thank the Family and Community Partnerships team. They've been great. Nicole is our manager of FCP. So we really hope you'll enjoy this presentation, and then we'll move forward with something a little more formal to give you some updates as to where we are.
Hello, my name is Nicole Thompson. I'm the manager of the Family and Community Partnerships Department with the Oakland Housing Authority. Tonight you're going to hear a presentation about our programs offered to our program participants. You will hear from several residents who have enrolled in various programs. They will talk about their experience, their success, and their next step in life.
I'm Andrew Frankel, Employment Development Coordinator with the Family and Community Partnerships Department at the Oakland Housing Authority. And what we do is we work with Oakland Housing Authority residents to connect them to employment and employment training opportunities. We operate almost like a job placement agency, intaking folks, working with them to develop their resumes and develop soft skills that all employers look for. And then we act as a conduit between the employers and the training programs to make sure that a good fit is made. We really believe in the value of the work we do, making that fit, because we don't want to set anyone up for failure. And we feel that if someone is successful for the first time in a job that we connect them to, that employer or that training program is going to be much more likely to want to come back to us later and work with a lot more people. And we've had some successes in the first 2 years of the program. We've had a lot of people placed into a number of different jobs. A lot of jobs in construction, on construction projects that the Oakland Housing Authority is a financial partner in. In addition to some of the service contractors that work with OHA to provide various services, including document imaging, janitorial services, and home inspection services. Things I really enjoy about my work is that we come into this community that has a lot of negative stereotypes that are out there, that the broader society believes about folks from inner city Oakland. And I really enjoy the process of breaking down those stereotypes with some of the employers who they'll admit sometimes that they didn't know that there were people in certain neighborhood that were actually qualified to do the work. We have a broad spectrum of people we work with of varying skill degrees, skill levels, including people with bachelor's degrees, advanced certifications, and so it's a very rewarding process to be able to make those connections and really bring different communities of people together while improving the lives of folks in the Housing Authority and the Section 8 program.
So, Ms. Sashai, you've been a member of the Parent Ambassadors Program through Oakland Housing Authority for 6 months. Could you share with me what types of opportunities and developments have taken place for you as a result of your presence?
As a Parent Ambassador, I've been able to connect with principals, teachers, as well as other staff and other parents who's also ambassadors for other schools. With my personal project, Buried Treasures, I've gotten offers from people in Chicago to ask me to speak at conventions where plate dinners are starting at like $3,000. Also, I've gotten an opportunity to do a talk show with someone regarding buried treasure. So a lot of opportunities have taken place.
Wonderful. Now, what is buried treasures?
It's a support group for families who's coping with sexual abuse, rape, molestation, and prostitution. Okay. And I facilitate twice a month a holistic style, self-healing, and other ways to prevent it from happening. It's to make families aware that it does occur.
And so what do you plan to do with the project moving forward?
Well, moving forward, just continuing to do my school-based work as well as my personal project. Mm-hmm. Volunteering, classroom time, parent patrol, in whatever areas that I needed.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for all your service and all that you do.
Thank you for choosing me for this Parent Ambassador Program.
Hello, my name is Jose Romero, and I am the Family Self-Sufficiency Coordinator at Oakland Housing Authority with the Department of Family and Community Partnerships. I'm here with Neha Devia. She is our most recent FSS graduate from 2012. She graduated this year in May. She started the program in 2007. And the Family Self-Sufficiency Program is a five-year program. All of the participants, they establish goals throughout the 5 years. Staten, what goals did you accomplish in the FSS program?
And so one of the goals was to find full-time employment, which I did. I've been working for the same company for the last 5 years, climbed the ladder a little bit, and so my income is pretty steady and then well. And so also I wanted to work on my credit. Once I lost my job, of course, bills started piling up. My credit was awful. So I went from a really low credit score to pretty high credit score at one point. So I learned about finance and how to work on budgets and things like that. So those are the two major goals, was to clean up my credit and to get full-time employment. So I accomplished both of those.
And that's just an example of what many of our participants accomplish while they're in the program. The goals that they choose are established between the FSS coordinator and them, but ultimately it's them who choose their goals. We don't tell them what their goals are going to be. They choose their own goals. So, Ms. Staten, what advice would you give to new participants that are enrolling in the program today?
Stay motivated. You know, 5 years does seem like a long time, but it's not. It comes quicker than you know. And so just stay on the right path. Make sure you know what you want to do. Make sure you the goals are attainable. You feel that they're attainable. Don't try to do too much. And just make sure that you stay motivated and you can complete the program. It's doable.
What have you learned by being in the FSS program?
I've been to a lot of workshops. I probably can name a million. So I did. I've been to Wells Fargo's finance management. I've been to Operation Hope. They know me by first name. I did their credit counseling, home ownership program, time management. Few other programs, but yeah, so I've learned a lot as far as the programs that you guys offer, and the resources are really wonderful. So that's the main thing I got out of it, is some of the things I would not have known about that is out there for the community. So
how has the FSS program helped you?
Well, by being a graduate, we get a stipend or escrow, or excuse me, not escrow, but some type of stipend that you get at the end of the program. And to me, I'm going to use my money for the down payment on a home. When my mom was sick and I lost my job, we were actually on the track of buying a home, and we found ourselves kicked in the butt a little bit as far as not being able to come up with the money to buy a home, and this program has helped me to save the money to actually do that. So that's one of the things that I found. That's how the program is helping me to become a first-time home buyer, and I might not have been able to do so without the program. So I'm very grateful.
And Ms. Staten, would you recommend the FSS program?
Definitely. Definitely. So, yeah, anybody who can join, must join. It's a wonderful program.
Okay, thank you for taking the time to talk about your experience in the FSS program. It sounds like you've accomplished a lot during the 5 years that you've been in the program. Being motivated, like you said, is very challenging for some participants, but you did a good job of persevering and making sure that all of your goals were accomplished. And good luck on the home ownership.
Hi, my name is Nicole Thompson. I'm the manager of the Family Community Partnership with the Oakland Housing Authority. I'm sitting here with Winona Jordan, a student of the Direct Support Professional Program at the College of Alameda. This is a 17-week training program to teach people how to work with people with disabilities. And Ms. Jordan, what was this like for you to participate in this program?
It was exciting. It was nice. I found out about the program through a flyer, and also Petrea sent me an email.
Petrea?
Right, and I had to confirm and let her know that I was going to participate in the program. And I contacted her, and she let me know what date it was that I was to come out here to have my sit down and learn about the program, and signed up for it, and I signed up for it, and I proceeded on in. I started December the 5th, and I'm getting ready to graduate now, June 26th, and I've got my resume and my cover letter ready, and I'll be looking for a job. But hopefully, you know, I'm sure that they do have people with disabilities that live in my own community, that live in Housing Authority, and hopefully they can start a program, open up a program for direct support professionals like myself and other people that have went through the program, that I can give back. I can help those that live in my community, give back some help to them as well.
What was the best part of this program, you would say?
I think the best part of the program is the support that they do give you. They don't leave you alone. They're with you every step of the way, not just the people that organize it, but the teacher, Ms. Rivas, also. She gives you her phone number, her email address. Wow. If you need me, just email me, leave me a message. It's a great support system, and they make sure that you get your resume together and your cover letter, and they want you to put it out there.
Okay, so would you say this program is like a job readiness program?
Yeah, because this is a totally different field for me to have a certificate in. Mm-hmm. I did a 360-degree turn, okay. But not only am I learning about how to work with people with disabilities, but I want to know how to do the administrative side also. So in my internship, they're teaching me both sides.
Okay, and then what's your internship then?
It's at the Empowerment of Success on 35th and Pittman Street.
Okay.
In East Oakland.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there since April.
Okay. And how long is the internship?
It's 150 hours. When you complete your 150 hours, your internship is over. Hopefully, I'm praying that they will hire me. That would be excellent.
Oh, that would be awesome.
They have a choice.
Okay. And so what do you do at the internship?
I'm a teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. I teach, I work with them on learning how to read, how to do math. We do arts and craft. We go on lots of trips. We, what else do we do? We basically teach them how to, we catch the bus, we catch the BART. So a lot of them are independent. Mm-hmm. So they had to learn life skills on how to get around transportation everywhere they wanted to go. So we go to different places, so they know the best bus schedule better than I do.
What would you say to get another resident involved into this training?
You have to want to do it. You, You have to want to do it. You have to want to come to class every day on time. She stresses that so much to make sure that you come to class on time and that you're there, because you can't learn if you're not there. And your heart has to be there. You have to have passion to do it, and you have to have patience. Because if you don't have patience with the people with disabilities, this field is not for you.
And so I hear that you are an A student. That's
yes,
I'm a straight A student. Okay, congratulations. And I also heard that you went to the manager training program.
Yes.
You want to explain about that?
My teacher looked at my resume and she thought that I would be good. It would be good for me to go through the management class. She said that I already had the skill, so she recommended me to go, and I went through the class. I completed it. I got an A in class.
And what is your next step after you graduate? Since you said you're graduating this month.
My next step would be to find a job. I have my resume and my cover letter ready, and I'm going to be putting them out there to different places and see if I can come up with an interview. So
you're working with Family Community Partnerships employment team, right?
Yeah. And I have... my teacher, she's also working with me to help me find a job. And say thank you to the Oakland Housing Authority for giving me the opportunity to be able to take the class, because without them, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Wonderful. Thank you for participating. I mean, Family Community Partnerships is all about supporting our families and making sure that they're successful and building these partnerships with the community and bringing about these programs to make sure that our residents have the opportunity, like anybody else in the city of Oakland, to better their life. So we're just not all about housing people, but we are all about making the quality of life better than what it was. So thank you for taking part in our programs.
So that was just a small taste of what Family and Community Partnerships does for the community, for our residents. And we are very excited to be presenting this evening to you all. We help people from business startups to self-sufficiency to education and professional goals. We feel that it's very important, and it's consistent with our goal in the OHA mission statement. The information on promoting civic involvement and economic self-sufficiency is specifically related to the Family and Community Partnerships Department. We take that very seriously. And the three individuals that you heard from demonstrate this. I would just like to say the young lady who talked about the home ownership graduation from family self-sufficiency, $33,000 is what she graduated the program to be able to afford a down payment for a home. That's significant. She stayed the course and was able to complete her action plan. Her credit score was raised from 500 to, I believe, 708 or 710. That's a significant increase from someone who is really striving to do great things in their lives and to have an impact in their families. So moving on to the Family and Community Partnerships vision, our vision is that every family and every individual served by us is healthy, has the skills necessary to be self-sufficient, and to be able to successfully meet not only their personal but their family goals, as well as their professional goals. It's important that we talk about the whole person and the whole family, and we feel that our role as in this department is to make sure that we help families and individuals be successful. We want to support them in meeting their education and employment goals, and we want to make sure that it is consistent with OHA's mission to promote civic involvement and economic self-sufficiency. We have the org chart here. We have 13 FTEs for the department. The green area shows vacancies that we have in the department. We are happy to report the data analyst interviews for our education initiative partner. That interview process has been complete, and we anticipate within the next 30 days. We have a list now, so we'll be able to hire from that list. The board
Excuse
approved
me.
Do you have this in hard copy?
I don't, but I can get it for you.
Because we can't see
it. You can't see it? Oh, okay. Okay.
It's just a tiny little screen.
Oh.
You have a big screen.
Sorry about that. Well, we'll get you a copy of it.
Okay.
So, and then the green areas, there's a couple of others, the home ownership piece and family self-sufficiency. The board approved those two positions in the last budget. We have our, we're pleased to report also that we have three new resident interns that we just hired in the department. One of them has already started, Yen Doe. She is support to our education program analyst. And then we have Jordan Foster will be starting to support general operations within Family and Community Partnerships. And then we also have Deandra Williams, who will be out working with Don Pipkins out on our site in Lockwood and Peralta. So we're very pleased. This is the first time ever we've had resident interns, but we're looking forward to working with them.
Yando was the jazzercise instructor.
So again, just reiterating our program goals is to meet a broad need of all OHA clients, to have a significant impact on the families that we serve, and to build on best practices related to family and community partnerships. Many of our staff have gone to trainings across the nation to learn and best practices in which we can incorporate in our operations here, and just to make sure that we are providing the best service ever, helping families, not only individuals, but individual persons, maintaining synergy with our programs and OHA's core programs. These are some of our partnerships. We have really over 22 partnerships. And very important because we cannot do this work. We're not experts in every field. So we know we want to leverage those partnerships and draw on all of the resources out in the community so that we can effectively connect our resources, our clients to a variety of resources. I'd also like to add in this partnership endeavor, I will include our own internal. These are mostly external partnerships, but we partner quite often with Office of Property Operations as well as OHAPD in administering some of our site-based programming.
Could you quickly describe what each one of these partners do?
Okay. So I'm going to take you back here. Oops, go back here. Alameda First Five, they provide early childhood education and family support services. Of course, the Boys and Girls Club, they provide life enrichment programs and services year-round. Build, it provides support to our residents in terms of employment readiness for the construction field. Of course, the City of Oakland, they do a variety of things. We've included parks and recreation, so we work with them on just a variety of local events that happen. EARN, it's a match savings account. This is a new partnership that we are now in the process of developing. And basically what they do is they provide enrichment services for children, for families, for their children, by providing a 3-to-1 match to any savings that they might hope to accomplish. Then we have People's Credit Union. They provide banking skills workshops, account. They provide some kinds of tax preparation. Operation Hope, they provide home ownership counseling and budget training, and also they offer some additional financial support. And then we have the Oakland Unified School District. We have a partner with them. We partner with them in a variety of endeavors to include the police department. We do some community events with them. Union Bank, of course, that's our bank. They hold our money, and so there's also partnerships there around IDA accounts, those types of things, helping residents with savings. We have the Unity Council, which is medical and dental assistance programs. SparkPoint provides assistance with credit and also savings and debt, some employment training, that kind of thing. It helps our participants create budgets, that kind of thing, to get them on that money management track. And they have worked with over 100 of our families, so they're pretty active with us. Bananas provides child care assistance and training, so if one of our residents is interested in going in a child care field, they provide some support there. We have the, let me go here, we have WISE, which provides, that's the Women Initiative for Self-Employment, so it's a one-stop shop. Of course, the PIC is a one-stop center for employment services as well. They provide job readiness, job search placement, and training referrals. Department of Rehabilitation, they provide individuals with disabilities, helping them to connect to various employers. We have Peralta Community Colleges. We partner with them for the College of Alameda Direct Support class. And basically, that's the class that the young lady talked about. She'd be graduating in June. Mm-hmm. And that's a 17-week course. We have 25 residents enrolled, and 10 have completed. And then we have Department of Social Services. And, of course, they help with any type of social services needs throughout the community. And then we have Youth Employment, which provides youth employment opportunities for OHA residents. And then the Black Firefighters Association, many of you may have remembered them from Holiday Splendor. So they come out and support us in that effort. Next, we want to talk a little bit about the contracts we have.
Hello.
Sure.
You skipped two. Stride Right and Urban Fire.
Oh, Urban Fire is a business entrepreneurial class that we offer on Saturdays at Union Street. There's two phases. There's a beginning phase, and then there's also the more advanced. And then the last one was, which one? Stride? Oh, okay, so that's the training certification class. They do computer training. Mm. So next we have our contract list. Right now we have about 9 contracts with folks that handle various aspects of our operations. Many of you are aware of Attitudinal Healings. They conduct our neighborhood orientation workshop. They also oversee the Neighborhood Leadership Institute. So many of our graduates have gone through there. Aspiranet is a new contract. We developed an intergovernmental agreement through the Oakland Unified School District to run our after-school academy program. So that's something that will be starting up very shortly here. Civic Corps, that's a program by which we use them in a variety of ways, but primarily we have Civic Corps interns that work for the authority. We also have a program by which they do our recycling. So that's a very successful program that we've had for, it's a multi-year program. We have then Cypress Mandela, and Cypress is our construction, pre-apprentice construction training contract that we just recently went through. It's a three-year contract. Designing Success, we have a resident, it's called TAG. It's a tracking at a glance system, whereas we track a resident's progress in the system based on whatever they're involved in throughout the different programming. It's a great system. It's a national system that actually, when we had some disasters, that was one of the systems that was able to give housing authorities information about their residents in terms of where they were.
I can't pronounce it right. It's GC Perkins and Association. They are our contractor who runs our men's group. They have the City of Oakland, a sponsor-based housing contract. We have Youth Uprise, who does our youth employment services. And we have Wardrobe for Opportunity, who provides close assistance for our families who are looking for employment.
So the programs and initiatives, we have basically 6 areas that we cover. Broad spectrum, which is employment and economic development, the education initiative, life enrichment, civic engagement and leadership, special housing programs, which is part of our sponsor-based HAP, and then program administration. Employment and economic development covers Section 3, job development, business development, job training, adult literacy, GED, family self-sufficiency, and home ownership. We're going to share some pictures with you of just some of the activities that take place around employment and economic development. We have one of our students was a caterer, has been very successful. Daima actually has provided catering to the Oakland Housing Authority. She most recently went back east to speak to a group of budding entrepreneurs to explain how she made it. She's also a participant in Urban Fire, so she was a panelist with the group there and very successful. We see an individual participating in construction training. We have folks that are doing office work, they're painting, working on various construction projects, youth construction projects. We have our Sherwin-Williams programs, a happy participant, a graduate. And then we have our home ownership team that's working with residents in order to get them qualified and find lenders, et cetera. And then we have our education initiative, which of course, one of our most important components is our partnership with the Oakland Unified School District. We do parent engagement around the education initiative. We do data collection and evaluation. We've started and been a part of the new technology centers that we've begun, as well as developed special programs. The vision for the education initiative is to use education as a tool to break the cycle of intergenerational poverty. For some of you who have not participated in our education ad hoc group, we actually took this mission and vision to this group, and they approved the focus of our efforts. Our long-term goals is to have all OHA youth attending school, enrolled in kindergarten, reading by the third grade, and graduating from high school, prepared to for a college and or career. And then for our Oakland Unified School District partnership, our goals are to increase student attendance and parental involvement, as well as to pilot innovative programs and learn what works and replicate that to support our school communities. This is really a holistic effort. This has been a year and a half in the making. There was a lot of groundwork laid previously, but now I think we're just now getting the staffing and actually some of the goal setting is now taking place. We're actually looking at starting to look at some of the data and meet with OUSD on a regular basis. So everything is interconnected, and I think that as we move forward, we'll be able to have some significant impacts that will go a long way with helping us to achieve our goals. The education initiative is built on the theory of change, and we started out talking about socioeconomic stabilization as the sort of foundation and platform. You'll notice in the middle of all of this, we identified completely what the Family and Community Partnerships Department does, how it connects with the district and partners and various site-based programs, and then also including resident involvement to ultimately help with resident upward mobility. Wanted to go a little further on socioeconomic stabilization. I think this feeds into the whole person and the whole family, because it's not us deciding where a person should be, but it's actually taking those factors into consideration as we move forward in trying to help support our residents in achieving whatever goals that they might have. That includes making sure that they have educational, their life expectancy, as well as employment and less tangible things such as freedom of association, personal safety, and the extent of their participation in civil society. Our focus in the education initiative is chronic absenteeism. We focused there because we felt like it was really important to identify what really nationally is going on across the country. And I gave the definition for the focus of why we focus on that, comparing it to the difference from truancy. And there is a difference, and we feel that chronic absenteeism, if we focus on that and improve that, ultimately it's going to impact truancy, because it actually does go a little bit further. It's the model that's being measured across the nation, and there's some best practices that we are hoping to incorporate in our model in order to help our residents here in Oakland. Parent Ambassadors Project. We heard from one individual who talked about her business and her relationship as a parent ambassador. We believe that it's important that our schools have our parents involved and engaged. We also help our parents learn how to engage with school leaders. And we also want school leaders to hear feedback from our parents in terms of what's working and really have a dialogue. It's a two-way street, and we feel that our parents can be change agents within the community and help our children to reach their academic goals. Some of our kids. We had a college career day, and so that's one of these shots here. More college career. We took our students to multiple campuses that were local. So the next initiative is Life Enrichment. It covers, as you can see, a variety of areas. Our summer programs, both summer lunch, youth employment, as well as camp. We do community events, holiday splendor, nutritional classes, technology, and youth services. There's an event that happened with, of course, our mayor and executive director, OHAPD. Some of that good work that our police officer of the year, Holiday Splendor, our free lunch program, helping seniors in our computer lab, nutritional classes. We have the youth employment applications being filled out, more holiday training and coaching for our residents. And then there's civic engagement and leadership. We have our resident advisory board, neighborhood orientation workshop, neighborhood leadership institute, parent ambassadors. We have a men's group and our Lockwood leadership group, as well as sister to sister. Again, more pictures just showing our last graduation for our NLI graduates. We have our parent ambassadors there, and again, always continually engaging our residents, trying to make sure that we provide a myriad of opportunity and resources for them. And then finally, our program areas are sponsor-based HAP with the City of Oakland. We had a contract with the City of Oakland last year for about $1.7 million. It was a very successful contract. Their numbers are up in terms of families and individuals that are served. And then we have just our standard program administration, which includes our marketing efforts, our resident newsletter, our voice, interagency agreements, and just the standard operational areas that you have for family and community services. So with that, that I hope gives you an overview. We'll entertain any questions that you might have about some of the programming. What we're really trying to do is just make sure that we are a resource and we incorporate best practices in what we do so that we can provide these services to our residents to help them become economically self-sufficient and to get them civically involved, because we believe that change comes within the community and it starts with our residents. Thank you.
That was a mouthful. I'm sure, maybe we don't have any questions. I know I have a question. Was this Patricia's first time seeing this video? I could tell.
Yeah, we just finished it this afternoon and I was able to see the video, but yes.
It was amazing as watching the audience to see who was really like,
Nicole was able to pull the video together, and I thought it was such an amazing thing to hear that people talk, that you don't, you know, in a way that they don't have to come before the public to talk. Yes. So it was just an interesting tool to have someone tell you what their experiences are with our program. And the only other thing that I would add is the remarkable growth and development of a department that really barely existed a little over a year ago.
It is such a huge undertaking that you've accomplished in so much in such a short period of time. It's very impressive. It's impressive to see people really getting involved and making a difference. It's not just like, okay, we're doing this as a job. We're doing this as a passion, okay? And that's real important to see. My hat goes off. My heart goes out to you, and keep up the good work, because I know it's going to mushroom on you like you can't believe. Hey, more people will be coming saying, can we get involved? How can we be a part? And you're going to have to manage all of that and have other agencies managing what we can't manage, because it's really big. Thank you very much for that presentation.
Thank you.
I can't believe there's no questions. You did so good. Oh, there's a here it comes. Comments. Okay. Marlene Hurd. You're the lady here. Right?
I'm excited. And thank you. Nicole, thank you. Janet, thank you. Seeing the residents just express themselves like that is so powerful. And it just lets us know that we're on track. Two questions. The 22 partnerships, the one designing success, what's going to be on those reports when we track them and tracking them? What exactly are we tracking?
So what we do, we track them when they come into the program, mm-hmm. through the whole process until they become self-sufficient. So okay. We track from where they begin, it's like pre and post.
Okay.
And so it covers a gamut of different things that they may need. And so it's like a case management tool.
Case management.
But it's a database.
Okay, my other question. The new partnership with EARN?
Mm-hmm.
And they're matching 3-1, you said?
Yes.
3-1.
For life enrichment programs for you between the ages of 6 and 18.
6 and 18.
And so they have not yet came to the Bay Area. They're in San Francisco, but they not came to Oakland, so we're going to San Francisco.
All right. Amen. Here.
Okay. Wonderful.
Okay, so again, I'm just, thank you, ladies. This is great. Loved it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Adi Lagras.
So thank you. So yeah, this is a really impressive, the growth over the course of a year. It's incredible. And this is the most important work, and this is why we're doing all this. And you know, you contrast big initiatives or development projects or things that take 3-4 years and $8 million, and this can ramp up in a year, directly impact people immediately. And so that's what is the inspiring part about it. So Commissioner Hurd and Castillo and I, working with you on the committee, I think things that I think we could work on in the upcoming months and upcoming year is, so this might have been easier if there was a packet, but even though I've been a part of these meetings every month or every other month, it's still a little fuzzy for me, the various program areas. So you kind of have FCCP at the top, there's the education initiative, and with education, we talk so much about the OUSC that I kind of forget that that's actually just one prong of this bigger thing. So the Ed Initiative, I think from what I got in the presentation, there's life enrichment, there's civic engagement, and there may be other ones that I missed, or maybe those are the three. But I guess if we can work on kind of the clarity of the message of FCCP, there are three main, let's just pretend, there are three main program areas, Ed, life enrichment, civic engagement, and we're driving everything through those three program areas, because just listening to it now, I didn't realize when you try to compress it into a 20-minute presentation, it seems a little overwhelming. And so how do we pitch this in a way that anyone can understand it, a foundation can understand it if we go ask for outside money? So that's kind of one. And that's just, it's all there. It's just, you know, to organize. And then secondly, and Commissioner Hurd was touching on this, and we talk about this a lot, but it is the dialing into the metrics for how we're going to measure our success. And that is something that's a harder thing to do and that we'll all work on together. But with civic engagement, and I know I feel like we're further in this with the education piece of it, because in a way that's the hardest, but life enrichment, that kind of feels a little hard of how do we actually measure success at the end of the year with life enrichment. But yeah, it'll be those one-pagers that foundations and the city and everyone's going to want to see at the end, because there's so little money going to so many organizations. So how do we tell the world that we're doing great, effective work and we're actually impacting people's lives? So just a second thing that we can all kind of work on together. I know you've put great progress into that as well. But it seems like we're at the right place. This is like the envisioning, the program. These are the major areas that we want to attack. And it's reflective. I told Eric that I feel like as an agency, our biggest, there's so many things that we do so well, and I think our biggest area of growth is sharing a lot of our best practices in the city that we all call home, where there's so many challenges. And this dichotomy between a really super high-performing agency in a city with so many challenges, you don't see that in a lot of cities across the country. And so the evening out that divide, that difference, is, I think, the biggest thing that we can work on in the future. So this is a great,
absolutely,
a great start.
So I do want to just, I think those are all great points, and part of it is happening behind the scenes, because as we get grant money, part of the, they have metrics that you have to report out on. We just got two new positions funded, and so it's not just those positions, but it's what they're doing and how effective they are in administering the program. So that's part of the metrics that we are aligning right now to be able to lay that out in a more succinct fashion. Mm-hmm. And I think that the program areas, you hit on them all except the employment and economic development.
Okay.
There's actually six program areas: employment and economic development, the education initiative. Like you said, life enrichment is a little harder to measure, but I think that if you, part of what it also entails is meeting our residents where they are, mm-hmm. earning their trust and respect, getting them to participate in programs. And so I think that is where then you can also build on those relationships when it comes to really defining, okay, what makes a whole person for them? Do they want to reach their education or their professional goals? Mm-hmm. And then what we have found just in doing a variety of surveys and just talking with our residents, many residents don't know all of the opportunities that we have to roll out to them. So marketing is going to be a big piece of what we do going forward. And I think evaluations are absolutely critical to our success, because we are not just, you know, we have to be accountable for the dollars, and we want to know what works. So I think you're right. We're in a good place right now. We've kind of gotten our staffing a little more underneath us. We're actually being able to participate in some trainings, take a look at what's happening across the nation, mm-hmm. some of those best practices that we can then incorporate in our environment and go forward, and working with our partners, because I think that's an intricate part of what we're doing as well. We aren't experts in everything, so we want to build on our personal and relationships that we have with our residents. They know us, but also making sure that we are a bridge to third-party providers that come in and making sure that they're solid, that they're going to be there for the long haul, and that their programming fits right into our overarching goals and mission. Mm-hmm. So I really think, I appreciate that feedback, and I look forward to us coming back and being able to share with not only the ad hoc group, but with the larger board here, just where we are and where we think is going to be an effective way to move forward. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Greg Hartwig.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
This is really an interesting night here, because we were talking about the changes in finance, and I was just thinking as I was sitting here listening to everyone talk that about 4 years ago, I remember just kind of bouncing ideas about this around. And I remember several discussions with John Gressley about, you know, wouldn't this be cool if we could do this and become more than housing and really create a dynamic, supercharged environment that could be a something that is truly irreplaceable to the city of Oakland. And I think we're now getting really on that path, because this has been the thing that the city of Oakland just is, they have so many challenges that they're just having a heck of a time. And here we have 12% of the population of Oakland that we can light a fire, and a healthy fire, so that will spread. This is the hope. And so I'm really, really pleased to see this come around and look and shape up with the kind of organization, the number of partnerships and contracts that we now have in place that we're working with. So, you know, I have big expectations for the future.
Yeah.
So thank you all.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Janet Castillo.
I want to ditto everything that my commissioner said. They praise. You know, I've been watching you for a year from the RAB table and also from the board, and just kind of putting myself in the space of a resident and having these services offered to me. So I spent many years as an OHA resident, and I never took advantage of what was there because I didn't know how to access it. So now we're stepping out behind the table and moving into our communities and literally giving services that, and I love the commissioner says, supercharged dynamic environment. That's great, great words. I was wondering if we were going to do anything for voter registration this year. 12% of the residents to ask them to go vote is really a good deal, so I'm hoping that that's on the table. And I was curious, I know that it's buried deep in your presentation, but music and art, to bring that piece up a little bit by be able to engage some of our youth is to create a space where they can do the videos and teach them how to go ahead and incorporate that, and I guess you're already thinking about it.
Here's the last one.
Is nutrition is in there, but it would be wonderful to see that played up a little bit more, and adding exercise, which is I think the other piece that's already about to just blossom. But those are just kind of like the pieces that I would have liked to have seen more. Other than that, it's fantastic. I don't know how you guys are doing all that, really.
It's magic.
It's magic.
Really? A great
fairy
team.
Dust. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think Ms. Hurd wants to say something else, too.
Okay. Just two more things, and I'm done. You know I'm just excited.
So. You have to get their phone numbers so you can call and talk to them later.
Just real quick. Now, do you think maybe we can see some of this in our voice?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, like some of the stuff we saw today in our voice in the next one. And another thing is, in terms of marketing, our fact sheets, they are so popular. When I go to neural conferences, I'm always sharing them. Okay. And maybe doing a fact sheet with the FSS programs and elevating, spotlighting some of the stuff we're doing, you can quickly hand it out, and it just gives it information in a snapshot, and people love it.
Thank you.
That's it.
Just to go respond to your idea about having to do the video, that was Eric's idea this afternoon.
Really? Great.
So you guys are right there. One of the things that I wanted to bring forward, because I saw years ago that we had the potential to be an example to some of the other agencies throughout and the programs throughout the city of Oakland of what they can do thinking outside the box. You know, PG&E just provides that, but they can do more than that. Although they do give money to agencies, they themselves don't sponsor and do things internally like we're doing this. Not just housing or not just electricity and utilities. Same thing for East Bay Mud or waste management. Okay, hopefully we can work with the mayors in the future, and let them recognize, look, if we can do it, other agencies can do it. But we're going to have to be able to, like you said, Mr. Nagraj, present it to them in such a way that they can see that how we thought outside the box, do something different, and we had measurable results. And I think that's where we need to be going in the future, along with what we're doing. I know you're doing a whole bunch with the little thing, but we'll get you some more money. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Great job. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, now we have the consent calendar here. I'm hoping that Advice had a chance to look at it. Doesn't want to pull something off the consent calendar.
No, I want to just
move it.
Okay.
And I just want to pull and say, do you prefer it at the end of the meeting? Because I thought it was an interesting choice. We usually have people waiting here to talk, and this puts it, you know, and not for the consent items. And so a lot of agencies move it to the end, and I just wanted to give it a try tonight. And I think it does work if the commission is agreeable, we'll keep doing it this way.
It's going to work until somebody wants to speak on something on the items that are in the consent agenda. So we'll go with that for now.
Cool.
I'll second the approval.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? It's unanimous. Mr. Hartwig. Okay. We have one person that wants to speak to the commission, Nancy Cross. It's your turn.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Cross, and I think maybe I'm unusual in the sense that I really enjoy your meetings. You have such a wonderful staff presentations of what you're working on and things that I care about too. And somehow, well, I wish, as far as these presentations, I heard the Moms program and all this evening. I wish a lot more people could hear it and watch it. Maybe you could put on a all-day show of what we can do and invite some of these would-be partners and a lot of your public, too, that wouldn't be necessarily coming to your meeting. I'd like to propose that maybe one of your speakers today, that you might partner with him as far as something that I see that maybe you could do better on, and that is the fairness in the distribution of your lottery wins. As you may recall, I've been here several times about getting an award for a lottery, but never the benefits that were promised. And I didn't know everything, but I knew quite a bit. And I found that when I was asked to talk with your staff, I always answered their questions, and they never contested the facts. Maybe the application they hadn't done before. And your speaker tonight talked about one-to-one replacement of low and moderate housing, things that change the use or destroyed the housing. And this seems to be at the heart of what's happened here that hasn't been responded to with the same constructive all-inclusiveness and caring for the community that you have shown in your other presentations. I have been deprived of the housing I was entitled to. I have plenty of evidence of it, and also the fact that not only was my original application destroyed, but they seemed to keep my number, and they knew the person who had interviewed me and given me a client number. But then I was told that, well, we had a computer change, and a lot of records were destroyed. We lost a lot of records, but we lost our database. Somehow I got somebody different that answered me. This seemed to be in the IT department. Well, that was the statement then. But then I had all copies of all those records, so I made another complete set showing everything I had done appropriately and even the copies of the interview sheet. And I prepared that with an index and brought it over, and it was receipted. And after I saw Erica Malcolm looking at it and examining it and sending me to Madison Appointment Apartments, which gave me a threatening response, and I was told don't contact the housing authority. By the housing authority, but I tried to, and Malcolm didn't respond at all. But I saw her holding my second copy of those things, and now they can't find it again. She apparently destroyed that one too. I think you owe me a fairness, a one-to-one replacement. You say you no longer have the moderate housing, but that doesn't destroy your, that doesn't impinge. Relieve you from doing equity. You have other housing, replacement housing, the same thing HUD calls you for, and you've been cited with the exact section tonight. by one of your consultants. May I suggest that you partner with that partner, with that consultant, or somebody that knows more about this and do equity and fairness in relation to me that you want to make right for your the people after they've received the housing.
Okay, your time has expired, so you need to be very quick.
All right. I have a brief memo to this point. Your Mr. Johnson has written me a letter of just disparaging, put off, put down. He started that way before I could even saw him. He was already referring me to your housing for people that just were looking for shelter and not paying any attention. He's been trying to put me down by various devices. This is a little memorandum. I'm asking you now to review your staff record to see if it reasons fairly and honestly and with integrity and that you have evidence to support it. And it's now in the board's hands. You've sent it to staff and the highest staff has responded. But I think it wouldn't pass muster. And I'd like to have my memorandum. I don't have enough copies for everybody. But
we'll make them, Ms. Cross.
You're the chair now.
Ask if you have any questions of me at this stage. I'd like to have this processed by the board. It's always been referred to Mr. Johnson. Now he's made his final word, as far as I can understand by his the idea of it. And you look at it, please, and see if you see evidence to support what he says, not just insulting language to me, but something that shows reasoning from evidence and that you have evidence to support it. Thank you very much for your time and for, and I hope you can bring up your choosing of people to be within the housing program as graciously and capably with partners as you have done on other things. I commend you on those.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Hearing none. Moving right along.
Written
communications.
The first is the monthly report. For your viewer, available for any questions, and I'll just walk through the written communications, and I have a couple extra comments. The RAB memo is included. On the back of the RAB memo, on the next page, is actually an award for Housing Choice Voucher set-aside funds, and I'd just like to congratulate Michelle Hassan for completing the application and bringing an additional $1.6 million to us to help us pay for our portability shortage. It's money well needed because you know we have about 1,200 people porting out of the city, and there's an additional money that runs in a deficit for us on that program, and this helps fill that deficit.
Are we going to apply for an award on that one?
Well, I think eligible agencies are eligible agencies. I'd sent over a notice to her, and she looked into it and figured out we were available and got me to sign it. And when I got the letter, I'd actually forgotten I'd signed it because I didn't expect them to give us any money. But they did, and I'm grateful. We've also got our approval letter, which I've included just so it's part of the public record of our Move to Work plan, which has been approved by HUD. I included letters that I've written to each one of the parent ambassadors that have worked and started this season. I've done it purposely just so everyone would get to see what they're doing, and I've copied the principal, their the regional executives for OUSD, and also Tony Smith, so they'd all be aware of those activities, because I think, you know, one of the things that comments you would all share during the Family Community Partnerships presentation is how there are seeds, and these are five people who are really making, really testing different things to find what can really work for us. And I think if we're really become effective, we'll be able to identify what works for families. And they've come up with their own programs. And I was just, the people on the education committee have heard them talk about their programs, but I wanted to kind of lift them up. It's the end of the school year and we find new places. So I wanted to get them a letter.
Good idea.
The Government Finance Officers Association is a memo to Janet Rice, who actually recently attended, and in accommodation, I wanted to include that. She's really one of our goals that we've discussed is getting us certification under this. It'll be a multi-year effort, and it is very similar in many ways to what the chief goes through for his CLIA certification. And my motivation for doing it is not to get the award of certification. It's, I think this process will bring us to another level, will make us a better agency, and make everybody be able to do their jobs better. And it really is one of those efforts that will touch every one of the departments in this agency, and I'm proud of her for that. The next, in the back of that, you'll see a letter to Patricia Eisen from the Housing Department, what is it, HD, Housing Development Law Institute. She facilitated a group, Carol Duplessis also attended, talking about legal issues that they are very familiar with. And I want to call them both out for their work on that. It was terrific. And another one from District of Columbia Housing Authority, another thank you letter. East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation, one of our strong partners in many of our development activities, and also with the City of Oakland in many of their development activities separate from us. Jeremy Liu has left as their executive director. They have not named a permanent replacement, but they have Peter Sopka there. They've named Peter Sopka, who's their financial director, as the interim. He's no longer with IBALC. I wanted the board to be aware of that. I included the ward letters we got the day of the last meeting. And you'll note we did not get our voice, and I misspoke, and I apologize at the last meeting. It was not granted an award of merit, although I think it's an extraordinary publication, and want to give a shout out to all our residents and to Greer for making that a reality every quarter. It's never easy, and what I like most about it and why I thought it was so worthy of that award is that it tries to highlight what by residents what interests them,
right,
and make it a value to the 15,000 residents that we mail it to every quarter. And I still think that is something that I think that NARO missed the boat on. What maybe we didn't write it right, but that's the way it is. The awards for these will be presented on Sunday night in San Francisco. If you can attend, that would be wonderful. At the conference, we'll get the plaques. Additionally, we are nominated for Award of Excellence for Palo Vista Gardens restoration. Greer's completing the piece that we send to NARO for the conference now, and I'm very proud of that project. I think we all should be. I'm particularly proud of the work that William Bailey did on that for the past year and a half. It was extraordinary.
Absolutely.
The other pieces on the back, you'll see some pictures in the success story. This is from one of our providers in the sponsor-based program, and I just wanted to include it because we're mentioned and one of our residents is featured. And then we have the Housing Authority Commission meeting schedule. I want to just point out that there's a lot of meetings, conferences in September. And what would help Inez and I enormously is if you could let us know real quickly which ones you're going to so we can book rooms and get everything facilitated. It may be that you go from one conference to another. It's a lot of travel within a short period of time, and she has the list. So if you haven't gotten to her, please do so she can plan what kind of travel is coming up. The other meetings we can talk at a later date. The other couple things I'm going to mention in the next item, just director's comments, we're currently purging our wait list. So if you do get calls from people, they're mailing in. We're currently purging the old 2009 site-based wait list for project-based Section 8 and for OPI and for public housing. So that's going on now. That'll be done during the summer, and then we'll bring those people in. We anticipate at the end of the summer opening up that wait list again. It's been 3 years, and we're trying to keep us, and it's turning out to be true that about every 3 years, if we lotterize correctly, we can reopen it and give new families a chance to enter. So that'll be going on, and I'll keep you informed electronically as well as we progress, but I'm thinking it'll be the end of the summer. And the people on those wait lists, the purging is to see if they still need housing, see if they're still there, and as we finish up those wait lists at those sites. I attended the CLOFA meeting in D.C. a week and a half ago, and I just wanted to let you know that there was a lot of concern raised around MTW agencies, reserve levels, and reporting. There was a breakout group during lunchtime that I attended with Phil and Anna Gwen, and the result of that is that the Oakland Housing Authority is being the lead in facilitating a two-day MTW conference for only MTW agencies to help develop a new reporting tool for HUD. So we are working on that now. We sent the first notice out this afternoon, but you may hear more about that at NARO. It's only for MTW agencies. We're not involving HUD staff. We're trying to figure out how we can develop our own report to report and tell Congress and HUD not only our stories, but how they can hold us accountable, get the information they need, and really tell our story. What's become real apparent to all of the EDs that were attending at CLOFA is that HUD is trying very much to put MTW into a regular box of reporting for other agencies, and we quite honestly don't fit. Our contract doesn't fit. What we're supposed to be doing doesn't fit in that box. Within HUD, we believe that there's modest support for the program, mostly from the MTW office. But what we've learned is that there's actually quite strong support in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
So we need to take care of ourselves. The GAO's office issued a report on MTW, and their first recommendation is that HUD learns to monitor us effectively in terms of reporting, and that they suggested that HUD do that prior to any expansion. Okay. So our success in being able to get all of the 34 agencies together and reach a consensus is it's a bit challenging in some ways, but everyone's come to the point where we know it's our survival. So even some of the agencies that were less reluctant to do so, I think are going to be more. I'm not really necessarily sure why we were the ones that everybody said should take this on, except that they know that we are very close to saying we're going to report regularly, and when it doesn't work, we're just going to do an explanation. We're an extraordinarily transparent MTW agency. We were the first MTW agency that ever reported our reserve schedules to HUD 3 years ago. For the past 2 years, I've included it in the cover letter. This year, I included it in the plan we submitted recently, and we did that to protect our reserves because it shows your obligations. So when we got the approval letter and I included it in the packet, I wanted to do that very intentionally because HUD has reviewed our reserve schedules, reviewed the actions that you've taken because we provided them the detail. They can make arguments around that, but I just wanted it on record, and we had the opportunity to do it. There's only one other agency I'm aware of in the MTW that has reported their reserve schedules to HUD, and we only learned that just last week in D.C.
They keep it secret?
Very much.
Really?
They know what the total line is, the FDS top line that we showed you, but they don't know what's been obligated. We took an approach that we wanted to tell HUD what you had obligated so that we would not they would not put us in a position where we're defaulting on agreements.
Yeah. Right.
So the other agencies are not telling HUD what the reserves are.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. On the subject of reserves, one of the things that we might have to bring forward, there's a Gatsby notice coming out. They're doing new accounting standards for public burden, public employees, the burden of retirement programs. CalPERS is assessing how much unfunded gap they have by what our activities have been in the past. So we may come forward with some figure of what they are estimating we need to make whole. And that'll be in the next month or so. Janet's looking at that. That they're currently doing, and I can email you the notice. It's a proposed government accounting standard set to burden public employers. So if we're public employees and we have an unfunded burden of our retirement plan, we have to identify it. And what we're going to look for is to see how much ours is and see how we can fund that liability, and we're going to have to start booking it, it looks like, onto our books. Well, I think it's a good thing to do. You have people who are working here that are working here, and that's part of their benefit. To not fund it correctly and totally is really would be irresponsible, I think. So the fact that the government accounting system is taking the action of actually making it a formal thing, I think is trying to protect a lot of workers, and I'm not opposed to that. It's a shame that it's not fully funded. And so they're going to look at where the gap is, and we'll discuss that going forward. I just wanted to put it on your radar screen.
Before you go too far, you didn't mention when that MTW conference is going to be.
We're not sure yet. We're going to have the first conference call the week after the 4th, and we're probably going to be in the end of September. We're trying to get the reporting tool done by the end of the year, sometime around November. See how things go to how we present it. It's going to be a day and a half, really kind of hardcore work at the data. Anna Gwynn will be going to work on her, and we may send, for example, Michelle to work on what Section 8 does, Tony to work on the financials, and they're going to do some pre-work, and then we're going to propose to the whole group and what we can live with. We hopefully walk out the door with something agreed upon. But that's all me guessing, because until I get all of them, we only have the CLOFA people right now, so we've got to go broader. And I'll keep you updated in July and further. The website, you had mentioned some things to the website. I just want to let you know that that Greer is working with our contractor. She's hiding there. And we've done the skeleton for the new website, and she's currently working on getting that finalized. It will be, I'll let you know when you can log on to www.oakha.org and check out our new website. It has more interactivity and captures emails. There are some things about it that I think are going to be great going down the road and useful. We kicked off our staff training program. You'd approved a contract a few months ago to really expand and create kind of an OHA staff development program. We had our first series of training started this past month and continues in July and goes on because we're training many, 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 many staff. But it was really well received. It was in the conference room next door to me, and I talked to a lot of people during breaks at Puff in my office, and people really, really enjoyed it. And I could tell they enjoyed it because the teacher was really engaged, and I could hear what was going on because the walls are thin between my office and the executive conference room. Lockwood's summer kickoff was a really resounding success because of a number of efforts, and you've heard it talked today, but the main reason I thought it was a success is it had little kids all the way to seniors, and including the most hard-to-reach youth, playing basketball, hanging out, and having fun. So it's, you know, with the Oakland Housing Authority Police Department, Family and Community Partnerships, and OPO just all really rallied, and I want to send their thanks. And I want to thank Flo and Artesia for showing up and doing temporary tattoos. it was really terrific. The Education Committee meeting will be held this Wednesday, but it's going to be held instead of a meeting. We're going to actually go to the OUSD board meeting. And I've been waiting to send out an email to announce it tonight. Tony Smith is going to give his sort of state of the agency and has invited any of us to go, and it would just happen to coincide with the next Education Committee meeting anyway. So in lieu of holding our regular meeting, we're going to meet at OUSD. Yeah, and we'll get an email. It's over on 10th and 2nd at their headquarters, and it starts, I believe, at 5 o'clock. If we get any other range about when he's going to do it, because sometimes they can go on, I'll let you know. Additionally, I understand that the building is going to be packed because of recent news events with the agency, but they've been good to us, and we're going to find our way in and sit. I would also tell you, having been there several times, it's a very hot and an air-conditioned room. Mm-hmm. As you know, I like cold spaces, but this was out of control. So mm-hmm. Be prepared that it's going to be warm. We have the Development Policy Ad Hoc Committee. The first meeting we want to schedule is for July 17th. Everyone is available. We will follow that up with an email this week. Staff has started work with Ann Dunn. And I know at least two of you have talked to Ann Dunn, and maybe the third will before the meeting would be great. She's very, very experienced in this and has examples, and I think brings a great deal of value to the committee. And I'll be off next week. So in what is a amazing, impressive setting thing, I'm going to be off for an entire week from OHA. I've never done that. So the House Appropriations Bill is the last thing I wanted to mention. NARO, and I know you've gotten them, and you can read through them, and we're okay on a number of issues. One of the issues, though, that they did continue through a memo that's attached to the House side of the bill has to do with restricting MTW and even other reserves, similar to previous years, and they were going to report to the House. So the reserve issue is really out there. What really concerned me about the language is that they said recommended for 1 month. I don't personally feel like this agency can survive a one-month reserve. So I just wanted to make you aware of what I thought was alarming in the language. And this was only in a memo to the House committee, subcommittee. It was not in the actual appropriations. But somewhere a one-month got into that conversation. And we really cannot pay our bills on it with a one-month reserve. So I want to make you aware of that.
And, so outrageous that they can't imagine that going longer.
Yeah, it is. And in, you know, in closing, one of the things that really happened to Clough that became very, very aware toward all of us that were in the room is just the real challenges we're facing with the current HUD administration in terms of notices and things that they've done. And I've covered some of those with you, including the MTW notice, the disposition notice that were issued as either clarifying notices or didn't go through the negotiated rulemaking process, which I have real problems with. As you know, three of the organizations which we are a member are suing HUD. We are not joining those lawsuits at this time. although I was again approached in D.C. by their executive directors and thanked them all, and we don't really have enough damage to warrant that. But one of the things that became really clear is it's not, it's something that we're all having trouble with and struggling with nationally in terms of HUD and the administration. And I just kind of wanted to get that in the record, that we're very concerned about them taking actions that are not helpful, not only not helpful, but actually diminish our ability to do our job well.
This is fascinating to me because this is actually almost worse than what I heard under the Bush administration. I mean, this is kind of odd. That, I mean, well, anyway. So,
thank you for those insights. I wouldn't mind.
Director, commissioners, it looks like Wednesday I have like three events during that time slot, so if I could ask to be excused from the Education Ad Hoc. Thank you.
That concludes my report.
You mentioned on the 14th that there was of July.
The 17th is the
17th.
It's the Development Policy Ad Hoc Committee.
Okay, yeah. I thought you said 14th.
17. Oh, okay. I'm not on that one.
This time. Okay. Since we have no more questions, I guess that also includes your executive director's report. You've done good. I'm going to keep saying that. You didn't talk about what you want to do for September.
No, and we can do that now in July whenever you guys feel comfortable. Any rescheduling, the challenge has to do with whether we'll have a quorum in September because yes. it conflicts with Pacific Southwest NARO's, or NARO, which one?
Pacific Southwest
yeah,
region.
Which is in Scottsdale, I believe.
Yes.
I personally would like to attend that conference, and I was not able to go to Monterey because I was here representing us for another function. Yeah. And
they really need you.
But I'm here at the pleasure of the commission, so whatever you'd like to do.
Personally, I think it needs to be rescheduled because there's so much going on. Even staff may be attending some of the conferences, and it's going to be like work. But the question is, rescheduled to when? What address? Yeah, I think staff... Maybe they can bring back a recommendation for that because
we don't know if
we have closings or what else.
Let me talk particularly to our development staff and maybe if we want to have it before or after.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I can do it the week before.
Week before?
17th.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly. Well, let's tentatively say the 17th. I'll double check with them, and if everything's good, we're on the 17th.
We're going to be doing that towards the end of the year anyway. Okay. Well, that doesn't close the meeting, but it ends this part of it. We need to go into a closed session. So, by consensus? I'm sorry. Do you have any commission? The commissioners have any reports or committee reports? No. Yes, you may. I'm just kidding.
I was wondering, and I don't know if I've been here a whole year yet, but does our staff present any Employee of the Year as grand as our Oakland Housing Police Department? Yes?
We don't.
What?
We don't. That's why I was specifically calling it the Oakland Housing Authority Police Department, because I think it would be a very good idea.
I would love to see that. I would like to put that out as a suggestion to brainstorm and see if we can get some staff Employee of the Year and all that good stuff. Thank you.
Are you nominating yourself, Leticia?
Oh, no.
Yo. I remember years ago we used to give out awards to many different people in the different departments and give them days off because of these awards. Oh, you don't? Wow. Some people don't remember that. Come on, Flo, you do remember that, right?
Oh, yes. I used to take days off all the time.
That's a terrific suggestion. One of the things, though, we have convened as well, and maybe we can turn it over to them to help solve, is we've established an OHA culture committee, which actually is not cultural. It's an OHA culture committee to work in kind of positively reinforcing the culture of OHA that we want and that exists through. Yeah. They're also going to plan our first, we're going to try and close shop for 2 days and do a train employees on everything we do. One of the things I hear everywhere I go is, I didn't know we did that. I'm not sure what they do. And so we think we're going to do it every year because we get enough staff that would benefit. And we'll do part of it ourselves and bring in a couple outside trainers to facilitate special trainings that are different from just OHA. And this would be a good activity for them as well.
Good. Mr. McGrath.
I fielded a few questions recently. Well, let me start here. When we had talked about FCCP doing that presentation, we had said that it seems to make sense. It's the end of the school year. Can we just talk about where we are to date? And similarly, with a different department, I do feel like as we're halfway through the year, it would be good at some point, deferring to the chair of when that would be, to hear from the police department on, you know, halfway through the year. I fielded two questions about the 100 block plan that's been in the news a little bit recently and our role in that now that that might be changing or is it not changing. And so just given that we're halfway through the year and engaging in the summer months, maybe at a meeting where we have a lighter agenda, it would be nice to visit where we are with your stats. Thanks.
Okay. I think that summarizes our discussion. And by consensus, meeting's adjourned.
Yep.
No opposition. What? Closed session. No, we have two things. Thank you.